Bible and go to Psalms 26:8. I'm going to give you some. I preached long this morning. I just got going, and kind of like the Energizer Bunny. I just kept going and going and going, I think. I don't like it when that happens. I like to be done as close to noon as we can. And I looked up and saw the clock, and I was disappointed in myself that I let that happen. But I did have a great time preaching, and I do feel the Holy Spirit was in it. And y'all don't make me feel bad about it. I just try to stay, you know, in a certain frame. But I'm going to try to make up for it tonight if I can. Thanks for the encouragement. All right, here we go. I'm going to give this to you quickly here tonight. We're going to look at some scriptures, though. We're going to move pretty quickly here. So we're going to start in Psalms 26 and work our way across. Psalms 26, verse 8 says, Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. If you have your pen, underline that verse. I have loved the habitation of thy house. When he talks about the Lord's house, you know, he's talking about the tabernacle, the temple, or what we would call the church, the place where the Lord dwells, the Lord's house. Let's go to another verse here. Go a few pages over to chapter 27, and it's just the next page, actually. 27, look at verse 4. We see the psalmist as he says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. Catch this. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. If you have your pen, underline that. He says, I have a desire of the Lord that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. What a wonderful verse. If you haven't underlined it, please do. Please do. And then let's look at another verse, a few more pages over to the right, Psalms 122. Psalms 122, a more well-known verse we're about to read here. Psalms 122. Well, we've been enjoying this beautiful weather. How about you? We did get a lot of rain, but hadn't it been gorgeous? The day was a gorgeous day. Yesterday was a gorgeous day. Just one of those days you wanted to be outside. It was just perfect. And love it. Love these Texas. Once we get past some of those bitter cold snaps, I love the mild winters that we have the rest of the time. And what a beautiful place to live, isn't it? Beautiful place to live. I mean, I'm so glad God let me pastor in San Antonio and not New York or something like that. Can you imagine? Man, people in New York can't wait for the Lord to come. People in Texas are, you know, pretty happy about life. Hey, Psalms 122, look at verse number 1. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. If you have your pen, underline that. I've read to you three psalms where the house of God was mentioned and the joy and the love and the anticipation. We see, as the psalmist says, man, I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. He felt a stirring when it was time to go worship the Lord at the Lord's house, and he felt excitement about it. Now, we see the importance of God's house in these three verses. We see that there's a love for it, a joy in it, an anticipation to going to it. You know, studies of the modern-day church show a disturbing fact. When you study churches of today, we're seeing this happening. Number one, we're seeing that many Christian homes are one-generation Christian homes. In other words, mom and dad and their kids go to church, but after one generation, their children have dropped out of church and are no longer bringing their grandkids or their children to church, no longer in the tradition of attending church. And we're seeing this in alarming numbers, and it's all over America. We're seeing it in not just Baptist churches, but denominationally. These studies show that this is happening. One generation Christian homes where maybe mom and dad got saved, they raised their family in church, but it didn't transfer to a second generation. We see number two, a second fact, that there are many long-time Christian families that are seeing an end to that Christian line with the current generation. In other words, it's families that great-grandma and great-grandpa went to church, grandma and grandpa went to church, mom and dad went to church, the kids went to church, but the grandkids, the kids of this generation, many of them are departing from the church, and churches are seeing great declines in the numbers of young people. The hardest age group to work with in church is that age group of about 16 up to about 35. Those are the hardest ages to keep in church, to get into church, to encourage. They get diverted a lot. They spend a lot of those years diverted, often starting at about 16. They'll end up getting some kind of part-time job, and maybe mom and dad have raised them in church, but now they've got a job. Maybe it's at Whataburger or McDonald's or Taco Bell or something, but often that's where it starts. And suddenly the reasoning being they've got to work, and suddenly they're working every Sunday and every Wednesday night. Literally, I've seen times where teenagers work 2 days a week. 2 days a week, but it'll be Sunday and Wednesday night. And next thing you know, they've gone through most of their latter teen years literally unable to attend any church services. And although they were raised in church, they get into those years, the desire to teach them responsibility and work and to maybe help get gas money or whatever the case is, church becomes sacrificed. And let me just throw this at you. You have to be careful, parents in the room, that you don't sacrifice what's best on an altar of something that's good. It's good that kids work. It's best that they have a nurture and fear of God. It's best that they be in the house of God on a Sunday. It's good that they earn money, but it's best that they honor God. Now, if you believe that, say amen. And that's a mistake that I've watched in 33 years of being in the ministry. I've seen this happen over and over again. As a youth pastor for 7 years at Starlight Baptist Church, I'd see kids that, you know, they'd get in the youth department at 12, and man, mom and dad would make sure they came to the activities, and they'd get them there for Sunday school, and man, 12, 13, 14, they just couldn't get in every activity. They were at every bit of it, and they were at Sunday night, they were at Wednesday night. Then about 15, 16, that's when you'd start to notice those kids dropping out. Then I would notice in those kids that it would set a pattern that they were now out of church, often into their young adulthood when they would find husbands and wives and start to have children, and they've not been in the habit of attending church through those formative years, and often raising their children during the most formative years. Sometimes returning to church when their kids are teenagers, but missing out on those formative, foundational years. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You've seen it. Maybe it's you've seen it even in your own family. And it happens. It happens. And we see that we're living in a day where churches are being depleted of young people, and they're not seeing the college and career age kids staying in church. So we're seeing where many lines of faithful Christianity that's going back maybe 100 years, we're seeing some of those lines ending now, where the children that are teenagers and young adults today are not continuing in the faith of their parents and grandparents. So here's the question tonight: how do we keep our children in the house of God? How do we do this? How do we do this? Now, I don't know. Some of you have young children tonight and parents that are here tonight, and then you've got parents watching us on live feed. I'm going to give you something very simple tonight, very practical, but I want to preface this with the following statement. There are many reasons and variables as to why many church-raised kids forsake the assembling. Sometimes, despite a sincere and correct effort by parents, kids just don't develop their own faith and walk with God. This is very grievous to any godly parent, but I want to encourage you to be consistently and constantly doing these five things I'm going to give you tonight. Basically, if I can just paraphrase what I just said in that statement, sometimes you can do everything right as a parent, your children just not develop a walk with God. We all have this one thing called free will. Our heavenly Father did everything right, and yet his children forsook him. You know what I'm saying? I don't want you to feel this is in any way pointed at a parent that may be grieved because your adult children are not in church. And it's the point of this is not to do that. The point is to try to help parents with young kids that, you know, are in those developmental years. And hopefully, my goal is to see these teenagers one day as deacons and trustees in this church. Man, I'd love to see that. Love to see some of you guys grow up and God use you at Town East Baptist Church. We'd love to see that. Who knows that there's not future teachers and coaches and youth leaders and people that will carry on. You know, one day Brother Jeremy won't be able to lead music one day. One day there's going to have to be somebody preach behind this pulpit. One day I'll have to hand it over to somebody. Wouldn't it be great to see people that grew up right here be ready to take on those roles? That's what we hope. We hope to see teenagers that love this church and grew up in it become the deacons and trustees of it one day. We'd love to see all that happen, and it can happen, and there's churches that have that, and we certainly covet that. We want that. We do a lot to reach kids, ranging from a youth department that gives them a lot of time and attention. We have a wonderful Christian school that does its best to nurture kids and teach them to love the Lord. And Christ is a big deal around here. Christ is the Lord and Savior at Town East Christian School. The teachers do their best to point kids toward the Lord. But even with all of that, all that effort, you know, we've seen a lot of kids grow up, and 16 to about 20, we've watched them depart. And it wasn't that we didn't do anything or that we didn't provide anything. It'd be easy to sit back and say, well, if they'd have done this and if they'd have done that. I know as a church we have done our absolute best to love our young people, to provide for them at every level. We have a wonderful children's church program. I mean, literally starting at 4 years old, they come out of the nursery right into classes with people that are devoted and love them and spend a lot of time with them. At this very moment, there's kids in a room being taught to love Jesus by a teacher that loves them and wants to help them. Every service, there's things devoted from the time they're out of the nursery on up to the time that they graduate high school. And then we have classes for adult ages that continue their spiritual education. We do all we can. But even despite that, we lose them. We lose them. And parents, I know that some of you have done the best you could. And sometimes your children just made some choices. I want to encourage you, and I just want to say this to you to encourage you. I've been in this a long time. I've seen a lot of them come back. I've seen a lot of them come back to the Lord, come back to the church, and they get out there. That story that Jesus gave of the prodigal son, it gives us all hope that one day when they've had enough of this world, they'll say, there's a better life, and they'll come back to something they remember as being better. So don't lose your hope. But you young, you parents that have young kids, I want to give you these things quickly. How can you, so to speak, stack the deck in your favor, if I may borrow that term? How can you increase the odds that your children are going to stay in the house of God? First of all, first thing I want to encourage you to do, number one, teach them to love their church. Teach them to love their church. Write it down. Grandparents in the room, some of you can be huge influences to your grandchildren, even if mom and dad are not in church. You can get them a lot and sometimes have them on weekends and bring them to youth things and VBS and all that. But even though maybe it's not being done in their personal home, a good godly grandparent can have a great influence teaching the children to love the church. But teach them to love their church. How do you do that? Number one, speak well of it. Say everything good you know about your church and in front of your children. Do your best to not talk about the things that are not so good. And you know, every church has pluses and minuses. Every church has strengths and weaknesses. Every church has members that are a blessing, and sometimes there's churches with members that can be a burden to you sometimes. And sometimes you come to church and you go home excited. Sometimes you go to church and somebody can offend you or say something rude. But let me encourage you, with your little children, speak well of it. Speak well of your church. Teach them to love their church. Say everything good about it you can. Point out the happy things in your church. Point out the good things and speak well of it. Number two, underneath that point, be faithful to it. Be faithful to it. You teach your children that you love your church by faithfully going to church and bringing them to church. And beyond sometimes being out of town or being sick, they ought to know that church is important. Church is important. We're at church and we're faithful to it. And in that faithfulness, you teach your children to love their church. You know, when Christy and I were on vacation, when our kids were little, we always stopped. And even now, we stop when it's time to go to church, and we go to church, even when we're out of state. What were we doing with that? We were teaching our children to love the house of God, and by example, teaching them the importance of the church. So even when we were in other places away from our home church, when it was time to go to church, we would find a church and go to church. And we've raised our kids doing that, and they don't remember ever waking up on a Sunday morning and hearing mom and dad discuss, well, do you want to go to church today or not? They knew we were going to church. They always packed church clothes when we went on a trip. And I think it's important. And the reason I learned to do that was because I was raised in a home with a mom and dad that did the same. And so was my wife. Her mom and dad did the same. They would go camping a lot up in the mountains in North Carolina. That was what her family did a lot up around Cherokee, North Carolina. They went there a lot. and camped out. And they'd get up sometimes in that freezing morning in the middle of the winter. Her dad always got vacation time during the winter, so they went camping a lot during the freezing cold up there. But Christy would tell me stories of getting up, and it'd be freezing cold. And they'd get up and get dressed in their church clothes after staying in tents, and they'd get in, you know, smell like smoke from the fire, but they'd still all go to church and have a great time and great memories at a certain church that's up there in that area that they went to a lot. And, you know, there's a love that was taught through those things of the house of God. And Christy and I have continued that. We've always tried to make sure that we were able to attend a church anytime we were traveling. You want to teach your children to love the church, be faithful to it. Demonstrate the importance of it by making it a priority. Making it a priority. You know, there was a man that was faithful to church, and then he was really stressed out at work, going through some things. It's a true story. He ended up buying a boat. And one weekend, they went out on their boat, and they spent the weekend out at the lake, and they had a good time, and they got away for a week. And by the way, I'm not against you getting away. Go on vacations. Take your family on trips. Do it. Sometimes you're going to be gone from here, but I'm not against that. What I've always said is take a vacation. Just don't permanently leave the station. You know, get in church. You know, be in church when you're here. But they went on this weekend trip, and they went to the lake, and they camped out. They went out boating all day. And they got back, and they got to talking about it. He told his wife, he said, man, this is what I needed. This is exactly what I needed. I've just been so wound up tight, I needed to get away. Well, then the next week, they went and did it again. Before he knew it, they had gone to the lake every single weekend for the entire summer. They had been to church in literally 3 months. Well, after about 3 months of this, one Sunday morning, he was backing the boat up to get ready to go to the lake, and his little girl came out, and she said, Daddy, I miss church. I miss church. Are we going to go to church again? And the daddy looked at his daughter, and he said, Honey, we can worship God just as good down at the lake as we can in church. And the little girl kind of stood there kicking her foot in the dirt, and she looked up at her dad, and she said, Yeah, Dad, but we won't, will we? The man said it broke his heart because he knew she was right. It wasn't the priority when they were at the lake. Getting away and comfort and recreation was the goal. There's nothing that can replace church. Somebody say amen. Amen. Nothing. There is no substitute for church. Man, you can pray in a park and you can have holy spiritual places. I've had spiritual moments out in the woods where I've just felt the presence of God. And that's great. God owns this whole place. It's all His. But there's something about church. And the truth is, the little girl was right. The dad knew it. So he looked at her, and he said, Go change clothes. We're going to church. And he put the boat back, and that event's what broke his free fall with his family headed out of church. Beloved, teach them to love their church. Always put it in the best light you can. Speak well of it. Be faithful to it. Demonstrate to your children the importance of it by making it a priority. Number two, you want to keep your children in church. Teach them to love God's work in the church. Teach them to love God's work in the church. Raise them doing work around the church. I think it's wise when parents come up and they help with things as a family. We have church work days. A lot of you came and you brought your children and you helped them find little jobs around. I think it's great when parents can find a little job at the church for their children to do. It might be helping put away chairs after a fellowship or wiping down tables or carrying out trash. I love to see our teenagers. And by the way, you teenagers are always a great blessing. I've watched our teenage kids over the 5 years I've been here often getting dirty around the church, getting their hands filthy, getting out there and helping, clean up, take out trash, sweep floors, put away tables and chairs. It's nothing to see a lot of our teenagers carrying tables and chairs to places, and they're just been a great help. But somewhere behind that is a parent that helped their child learn to do work in the house of God. And I think it's a wonderful thing. Teach them to have a ministry. Teach them to be involved in the ministry work. Bring in your children on Saturday Soul Safari to help hand out flyers. And do it with joy and do it cheerfully. Man, some people come to the church and the whole way there, they're griping about it and mad. Preacher wants us up here every single stinking day of the week, you know. And they're griping and mad. And here we got to go up here and do this. Listen, when you do that, you're not teaching your children to love the work of God. Teach them to love the work of God. Teach them to serve the Lord with gladness and a cheerful heart and to be excited about it. Somebody say amen. And you got to do this. If you'll teach them to love the house of God, teach them to love the work of God in the church, there's a great chance that they'll fall in love with it and want to stay with it. They'll have a place, an investment. They'll feel a part of it. And you can help your children have a future in the house of God if you'll do that. Teach them that they have a way they can help with the church work. Number three, teach them to love God's word. Teach them to love God's word. Well, you have to teach them to do it. And, you know, there's a lot caught just as well as there is a lot taught. They'll catch it from you if they see you loving God's word. If they see you loving the house of God, if they watch you loving the work of God, there's a lot caught, not just taught. They see you rejoicing as you're out going soul winning. They see you rejoicing as you're at the church helping with a work day or a ministry need that's here, as they see you preparing for your class. They see that joy, that love. There's a lot caught as well as taught. And you can teach them just through your example, but teach them to love God's word. There was this dad that invited the brand new pastor over to the house to eat dinner. And when he did, he was trying to impress the new pastor. So after they got done eating, he was talking to the preacher, and he called his little boy in. He said, "Son, I want you to go get that big book that Daddy's always reading from." The boy said, "Yes, sir." And he disappeared in the other room, came back a few minutes later with the Bass Pro catalog. Amen. Oh, my goodness. Listen, teach them to love God's word. Teach them to help them memorize it. Make it a big deal and praise them when they memorize scriptures and teach them the importance of God's word. And you can do that a lot through your personal example. Number four, very simple. Teach them to love their pastor. I'm going to get a big amen on that one. Teach them to love their pastor. Teach them to love your pastor. I don't get to be around the kids a lot because they're in ministries. They're in the children's churches. So a lot of times they don't hear me preach when they're growing up. We have children's ministries, all three services. We have Bible club on Wednesday night. We have children's church Sunday morning. And we have Sunday school for their ages. Wonderful people working with them. And a lot of times it's not until they're teenagers that they really get to hear me preach. And if you're not careful, they can grow up not knowing who their pastor is. And y'all can help me help them if you'll teach them who I am and teach them to love their pastor. I had a man in my church in Orlando that started doing something when his daughter was 3 years old. He started having her bring me a candy bar about every couple of weeks. She'd come up to me and he'd buy her a candy bar. He knew what my favorite candy bar is. You say, "Which one is that?" "All of them. It's made of chocolate. I love it." But he'd have her bring me a candy bar, and she'd come up to me and he would have her draw me a little thing on paper, and he'd have her tape it to it. And at the back door, she'd come up to me, and she was so tiny. But she'd come walking up, and she'd hand that up to me, and I'd kneel down, give her a hug, and we'd, you know, cut up a minute. You know, that young girl calls me Uncle Rusty now. I'm not just her pastor. She views me as family, and she's been through some rough patches in her life, and especially in her latter teens, she went through some very rough patches. When I met her, when I met this family, they were a young couple, and just a few months after I met them, the mother left her, and she was a little baby girl, but the mom left the home, left the family, and went and got a divorce. And he raised her as a single dad and raised her in church. And he continued on doing the best he could to raise her. When she got to be about 15, she went through a very angry period of time. And you can imagine what she was going through. And I remember one time I had to sit her down and have a hard talk with her. I had to have a hard talk with her. And I saw her going down a path, and I didn't know how it was going to go. But you know, about midway through that, I saw that hard stone rebellion. I saw it just break. And I saw her countenance go from being, I mean, teenagers can look at you like you're on money, man. They can look at you like they hate you, like they'd stick a knife in your throat in a minute. And I mean, that was the looks I was, she was looking at me with like anger, a very rebellious teenage girl. Then all of a sudden, in the middle of it, I saw her just break. I saw her countenance change, and I saw tears fill up her eyes. And at the end, she was hugging my neck. And, you know, I saw a change in her moving forward. And I saw some sweetness return to her life and some joy. And I was able to help her. But I'm going to tell you something. There's no way I could have done that if it hadn't have been for all those years of her daddy teaching her to love me. He taught her to love her pastor. And when the day came that I had to meddle, and man, that's the last thing I wanted to do, but it fell on me. I knew I was the only guy that could probably help her at this point. And you know what? He did something very wise by doing that. And look, it's not that I need candy bars. Man, I'm always on the treadmill trying to lose weight. I don't need candy bars. It's not about that. It's not about that. It's not that I need gifts or notes, although it encourages me. But you're doing something for yourself when you do this. Don't think, preacher wants gifts. You know, no, it's not about that. But it's you teaching your child that the pastor is somebody important. He's somebody special. We love our pastor. And you have to be careful because, you know, the old devil can get in this thing. And look, I'm not naive. I know that in my role of leadership, sometimes I can upset you. I may make a decision that you don't agree with, a directional decision. I may have to have a disciplinary decision. There's all kinds of things that can happen when you're under a pastor a long time that you can get aggravated at a pastor and you have your feelings hurt. And I might hurt your feelings or it might be a misunderstanding. One thing I've learned every time that somebody's gotten mad at me, it was usually a misunderstanding and it was usually their fault. I'm messing with you. None of us are perfect, and we can hurt your feelings, and we spend a lot of time together. I have to get up and preach things, and man, I've had people get very mad at me, very mad at me. And I've had people get very angry, and I've had people try to hurt me, and I've had people quit church angry at me over a decision. But I'm going to tell you something. You got to be careful about this because, you know, there's an old saying, never tear down a wall until you figure out why it was built in the first place. When you tear down certain walls of respect, sometimes they're not rebuildable. You better be careful. And if I make you upset, your best bet would be to try to keep your children from knowing about that because you may get over it, but it may program them in a way that they don't get over it. They'll see me in a certain way for the rest of their life. And not just me, but the position. Often it'll give a tainted view of the pastoral position. If you want your children to stay in church, it's something you can do. It's simple. But teach them to love their pastor. Teach them to love their pastor's wife. Make a big deal about your pastor and his wife to them and speak well of us. And, you know, do things that they see you do to honor your pastor. So I know that seems weird coming from your pastor, but I know this. Families that have done it have reaped the benefits. And I become somebody that is able to talk to them and speak to them and counsel with them and often even rebuke them and exhort them. And if you'll do this, you will reap the benefit of it. And one day I will too, when I have a person that's grown up to love me and they become faithful adults in our church that we can use for God's work here. So we see that. Teach them to love their pastor. Discuss his sermons with them. You know, when I preach messages, discuss it with your children, especially your teenage children who get to hear me. Pray for your pastor and his wife in your family devotions. Pray for us by name. Have your children pray for their pastor by name. When you teach them to pray, teach them to pray for their pastor. Now, I may not always be their pastor, but you have built a love and a respect for a position that many men may end up filling over their lifetime. But you will never regret this. You'll never. I would say that one of the great things that my mom and dad did and my in-laws did for Christy is they taught us to love men of God. My dad taught me to love preachers. He taught me to love preachers. And he taught me to love the church. He taught me to love the people of the church. And, you know, I've tried to do the same with my children. And I've tried to teach them a love for the house of God, a love for the workers of God. And we've taught our children to respect men of God. And so it's a good thing for you to do that. Good thing for you to do that. All righty, let me give you the last point, and we're going to go home. Y'all ready for it? And it's the most important of the 5 points I'm giving you tonight. What was the first one, by the way? Who was listening? Teach them to love their church. How many of you would agree that's important? Who can tell me a few ways that that could be done? How can that be done? Speak well of it. What else can you do? Support it. Okay? Lots of ways, lots of ways. What was the second point? Teach them to love God's work. Teach them to love God's work. Let them find work in the house of God, even at a young age. Sometimes you may tell your children to pick up trash in a classroom. And when they say, I didn't throw it down there, you say, I know, son, but this is God's house, and we can help clean it. Something you can do for the Lord. You can teach them little lessons like that all the time. Hey, teach them that. What's the third point I gave you? All right, what was the fourth one? Teach them to love their pastor. And bring him candy bars. Make sure you write that down. Bring him candy bars, donuts, bear claws, purple hull peas. You know, the things that your pastor needs to be happy. You know, teach him to do all that. It's so sweet. I love it. Now the last point. Most important. What'd you say? You mean broken down boomer up here? What we call busted down boomer? The last and most important point you can do to help your children stay in the house of God is teach them a love and respect of Jesus. Teach them a love and a respect of Jesus. You know, I remember a man that would come up every week at my first church, and he would clean the buildings and do things. And I remember him one time saying about cleaning the commodes and the urinals. He said this statement. He said, "I wouldn't do this for anybody in the world, but I would do it for Jesus." And he taught his children, and his children would come up and help him clean the bathrooms, and he would give testimonies what a blessing it is to him to get to do this for the Lord. And he taught his kids to help. But he said, "I wouldn't do this for anybody in the world, but I would do it for Jesus." He taught his kids to love the Lord through the service he was doing. Teach them a love and a fear of Jesus, a respect of Jesus. Develop their love and desire to please Jesus. Develop that in them. And teach them verses about Jesus and songs about Jesus. And regularly have them quote those verses and sing those songs with them. And the best way you can teach your children a love and a respect for Jesus is through your example of your love and respect for Jesus. It is the best teaching tool that you can have. Now, I hope that these five things, although they're simple and practical, it is my hope that you young parents will implement these things. It's my hope. It's my hope. If you'll do this, your chances will go up. Now, listen, sometimes the old devil's clever. And you got to realize something, parents in the room. The devil desires to have your children, that he may sift them like wheat. The devil never makes anybody's life better, but he's going to offer them paths and choices, and he's going to lay down baits and snares for them to try to draw them out. And sometimes, despite your best efforts, sometimes our kids will get themselves in messes. And when that happens, we got to love them through it all, love it through them. Always keep that relationship of love, no matter how much your child is disappointing you. Don't beat them to death with a Bible every time you see them. You got to love them back, love them back, love them back. You got to do your best. I'm not saying let them dwell in sin under your roof, but I am saying love them through it, love them through it. And hopefully one day, just like that prodigal son, they'll return. But I do believe if you'll do these five simple things, you will increase the odds of your children being faithful to church and staying in church and being a generation that carries the torch beyond your lifespan. And that's what we hope. That's what we want. Somebody say amen, and I'll have you bow your head for prayer. Let's pray. I want to know if there's anybody here tonight that could say, "Preacher, if I died tonight, I'm going to heaven, and I'm proud of it, and I'm sure of it." Would you just raise your hand? Yeah, I see hands everywhere. You may lower your hands. Is there anyone that could say, "Preacher, I couldn't raise my hand, but I want to go to heaven when I die. Would you help me? Would you pray for me? Would you just slip your hand up tonight?" Anybody at all? Anybody? Amen. Looks like tonight everybody here professes Jesus to be their Savior. And I have no reason to doubt that. Now, I don't know. I know that hindsight's always 20/20. And some of you parents, your children are grown and gone. You probably look back and say, "Man, I wish I'd have done this or wish I'd have done that." But, you know, we do have a lot of young parents in our church, people with little kids. And maybe some of them are home watching on live feed. And some of them are here. Some of them are next door working with kids. But parents, you got to work at it. It's not going to happen accidentally. You got to develop a love for the house of God in your kids if you expect them to stay with it beyond your expectation. But it can happen, and it does happen. And the Bible says that my greatest joy is to know that my children walk in faith. So, you know, it would be your greatest joy to know that your children are walking in the Lord, walking in faith, walking in the peaceful life that he has them. Make it a priority. Parents in the room, your little kids, you got to make it a priority. I promise you, one day, the greatest joy you'll have is that they're raising your grandkids in church and that they love Jesus and that they've got a good, peaceful home and marriage and they're doing well in the will of God. That will mean more to you than even how much money they make every year. You got to watch the priorities in this as they're growing up. You got to watch it. So I encourage you to do that. Dear Father, we thank you for the service we've had tonight. In a moment, I'm going to give people a chance to just come and pray for a moment. Lord, we always end Sunday night with a prayer altar call because there's just a lot of needs and a lot of supplication, Lord, a lot of intercession, a lot of people that know people going through things and a lot of people going through stuff in their private life. And Lord, they need that time to pray. They need that peace that comes through prayer, that power that comes through prayer. Lord, I pray for the children of our church. You've given us a bunch of them. We sure are excited. We've got a bunch of babies on the way, and our nursery is starting to be full again. And Lord, I'm so excited. And I want to see those children raised in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. I want to see them grow up to love the church. And Lord, time and tide may take them away. They may end up moving away. They may end up joining the military. They may end up taking jobs elsewhere. But Lord, it is my hope and my prayer that when they leave town east, that they'll find a new church, put their heart and soul into it, and love the house of God that is the will of God for them at that time in their life. And Lord, I believe they'll never regret it. When they're old and on their final breaths, they'll be so glad that they spent their life serving you. Help us to be a help to them as they're growing into that mature place. We ask this in Jesus' name.